briefly, I want to point you to the truth that God has spoken to us in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For a few moments only, I want to point you to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. For it is of no use that even an apostle should reveal unto us the truth of God in inspired words if we don't know what it is that he has told us. What is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? I must know it. I do not mean that I must know it intellectually so that I can expound it to others before I can enjoy it. There are many who undoubtedly know the glory of being made free from the law of sin and death so that they don't have to sin by law anymore, and that the law of sinning, which is sin leading to death, does not take effect in their lives. It is a marvelous thing to be in the realization of it. Always remember that in the things of God, the spirit of man will never follow the mind of man. The mind of man must follow the spirit of man. Now, that's contrary to everything that we learn on earth. And when I hear people like our sweet Lella saying that she got through university, I think, oh Lord, spare her. For she was trained to live by her mind. And what a dreadful thing that is. Always the mind must follow the spirit. The spirit can only act by faith. You act by faith and you enter in, you plunge in, you believe, you receive. And afterwards, perhaps a long time afterwards, your mind will catch up with it and you'll begin to understand. You fail, my beloved, because you try to make your spirit follow your mind. You want to understand it first, which proves that you don't believe God, and you don't love him, and you don't think he is love. Because if you thought he was love, you'd jump straight into him now, without any more ado, and you wouldn't want anything explaining to you either. God is love. All right, but nevertheless, it is good to understand also with the mind, the things that the spirit begins to understand by experience first. If I say immediately, now I've got to watch it because I shall be preaching and you'll be sitting there at 11 o'clock if I'm not careful, that if I say that I want to come back to the first evening we spent together. That was last Saturday evening when Norman took flight straight away And he led us into a great and a glorious understanding, and we were struggling to keep up with him, were we? No fear, we were flying with him. And then, afterwards we took the other side of that. You will remember it, the law of the Spirit of life was exhibited in the scripture that we read together in John chapter 12. There was a feast on. Some Greeks came up to the feast. They said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Verse 21. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily," that means sit up and take notice. If you've got ears to hear, hear. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The enemy of that is in the next verse. "He that loveth his life," that'll keep you back from it. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man is my slave, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my slave be. If any man is my slave, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled." You won't come to an understanding of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus without you come through soul trouble. Jesus got there that way. This does not mean he was a man of misery, though he was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we were seeing this morning, he is the man of joy, and within hours of Calvary was saying, "I'm talking to you like this that you might have my joy fulfilled in you." Amen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is planted in this world on every hand. It is in every seed that you see. It is spoken of in Romans 6. You expect the great logician Paul to set forth the things that he wants us to know in his epistle. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in Romans 6, as well as in John chapter 12. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, by no means. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, you would have liked that "if" to have been left out, wouldn't you? And read, "for we have been planted." I'm like Norman, I'm glad I don't have the responsibility of writing the Bible. I have the responsibility to believe it. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of resurrection. The other words are superfluous, they're not in the Greek. Now this is the thing that God is talking about. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, as it is planted also as a law of nature, and as it is a law governing all life, it is the law of death and resurrection. That's the law of the Spirit. If you want to have and live the life that is in Christ Jesus, you may talk about being baptized into him, that's marvelous, but when you're in, you've got to live it. And if you want to know how to live it, it is Calvary. Now, this should be very simple for us. If we understand the truth of baptism, now search as you will not find water in Romans chapter 6. There's no water in Romans chapter 6. It is a spiritual baptism, not a physical baptism. The outward immersion in water is merely a picture. That is all. It is a visual aid. God knows that we need it, even as we're going to have bread and wine in a few minutes. God knew we needed that. Poor, forgetful, mentally straying people who have a job to focus upon anything for any length of time, lest we should forget the essentials, has given unto us these marvelous things to do, so simple. Beloved, God demands one thing, that if you are going to live the life of Christ, you cease to live your own life. You may not live your own life and call it Christian. You must not in any way associate it with Christianity if you live your life. You have to live the life of Jesus Christ, which means that your life must come to death. And more than that, burial. And more than that, fixation in it. Let's read it. It's in Romans 6. We are dead, it says in verse 2. And in verse 3 we are told that we are baptized into his death. In verse 4 it says we are buried in his death, into death. And in verse 5 it says we are planted in it. Amen. Glory be to God. Because this is the only way that God knows. He couldn't even create the world. He couldn't even say, let there be light, with intention of saying, let there be vegetation, let there be trees, let there be men and women, unless he did it by the law of the Spirit of life. The Spirit was brooding over the deep and moving upon the face of the waters, and he brought it all into being. By the law of the Spirit, if this world exists by that, if nature itself teaches it, you may depend that it came from the nature of God, the principles of his own living, and you and I can do nothing other than obey it. It is quite impossible to think that you can live, or I cannot think that I can live apart from this law. Does that trouble your soul? Hallelujah. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. It cannot bring forth fruit. This is the law. The whole law of it, beloved. Glory be to God. Before God could think about creating the universe with all its interrelated laws that keep it in existence, he had to slay his lamb. He was slain before the foundation of the world. There was no other way for God. There is no other way for you or I, beloved. This is the great law that governs it. Amen. If we want the fruit, hallelujah, we have to fall right into the ground and die. For except we die, we shall not bring forth any fruit. It may be the explanation of your barrenness in the things of God. You have to fall into the ground and die with your ideas, your visions, your everything about you. Must go right down there that the visions and the revelations of God that he's put for us in the book shall come out in our lives and shall work out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For if, verse 5 of Romans 6, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also of resurrection, and no one else is. No one else is. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Of course, you start this great truth already knowing what verse 6 says, that you know your old man's crucified. Well, we're talking of that which happened beyond crucifixion. Jesus was crucified, and then he was put into the grave, buried. buried. You've got to know that which goes on far beyond the crucifixion and slaying of the old man. When Jesus said he had to fall into the ground and die, he wasn't an old man talking, he was the new man. He was the Son of God, the seed of all eternal life for men. Hallelujah. And that's the only man God wants. The old man he got rid of. The new man he wants. But he wants you in death. He wants you planted in the death of Jesus Christ, which alone can keep the law of resurrection and life operative in you, and the fruitfulness thereof born throughout the whole of your earthly life. That's what he wants. Amen. When the world came, or the Gentiles, representatives of all the unreached nations of the earth, for God reached the Jews and sent his Son amongst them. And when they came saying, "We want to see Jesus," he said, "I've got to fall into the ground and die. The hour's come, Father." Amen. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Hallelujah. This, beloved, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can see it everywhere in Jesus Christ long before it became operative at Calvary. I tell you, it was there operative in eternity. It was there. Hallelujah. You know this great text in the Philippian letter, chapter 2, where Paul exhorts us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, counting it not a thing to be grasped at, to be equal with God, emptied himself." He didn't love his own life. Hallelujah. He emptied himself, beloved, and there's the principle of it straight away. This principle can only operate in men and women who've been baptized into Jesus Christ. And when men and women hearken to the Word of God, when men and women, whoever they be, will go the way of God and will abide by the law of God and fall into the ground and die, and know that your life is not only dead. Let's come back to Romans 6. But you've been baptized into his death. Baptized into his death. You haven't just consented unto the law, this law, that it is good. You have given right over to it. And you have let the Lord Jesus take hold of you and plunge you into his death. Our old man's crucified. You should have got long way beyond that one. If you're still struggling to get rid of your old man, beloved, you're not ready for this. This is the great and marvelous truth, where you come consenting and cooperating with God and hand your life over, all that you are, all that you possess, all your attributes, accolades, anything you hand right over to God, so that you are nothing and have nothing. You might as well be dead and gone. Hallelujah. And you hand right over to him, and he baptizes you into the death of Jesus Christ. Not until you reach that point will he do it. Not until you reach that point can he do it. Not until you reach that point dare he do it. Lest he appear to break the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he be made party to sin and the originator of it. When a man comes there, hallelujah, hallelujah, and when you see you've been spared the pain of the agonizing Calvary, when you've been spared the pain of feeling the blood drop out of your veins and everything ebbing away from you, when you've been spared the curse, when you've been spared paying the penalty for being an old man, a sinner against God. And you come and you let Jesus Christ baptize you into his death. Unless you should get it into your head that even now he'll say, Lazarus, come forth, and you'll be spared. He takes it on, and he says, he says in verse 4 that you're buried with him. Not only dead, we don't want you dead and lying about on the surface. Buried. Gone. Everything gone. Buried with him. Buried away from it. Hallelujah! Taken out of the world system. Taken out of the fleshiness. Taken out of the ideas that drive the world. Taken out of it. All a lot of it. Hallelujah! You can come back into it in a minute, a new man. We'll get you back in a minute, but you've got to come out of it first. And it's how can you be born from above unless you're cut off from down below? Tell me, is there any magic whereby you can make sense of that? There's a cold logic in God's reasoning, but it's been warmed by the precious blood of the Christ. It'll stand up to any philosophical or scientific test. Hallelujah! Buried. Buried. Have you ever had a baptism that buried you? Absolutely buried you. Glory be to God. And when he got you there, you found you were a seed. You got roots in it. That comes the next thing. Planted there. Hallelujah. You turned, and this is the miracle of Calvary and the wonder of all grace, that there he changed you into a glorious seed. You were the seed of Satan, the child of hell, predestined unto the outworking of all the wickedness of Satan in your life. That was the intention of God, of the devil. But here, God has made you a glorious seed. And you've become the seed of God. And where does the seed grow? Down in the burial chamber. That's where it takes its root, down there. Glory be to God. Rooted, planted together in the likeness of his death. Hallelujah. What a tremendous and glorious thing it is. so that we shall be of resurrection, genuine resurrection life. Oh, the identical life of the blessed Christ of God in us. This is the secret. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can do no other. He would deceive you. He would let you down. He would mock you. Except he insisted upon this. Amen. Even so, we must walk in newness of life on this earth. Isn't it a tremendous thing that all that was outwardly done at Calvary, the cross, the blood, the sacrifice, the death, the tomb, for you will know that the tomb was almost certainly under the same hill there. In the place where they crucified him, there was a garden. The garden of Calvary is very rarely preached upon. It was there to receive the seed planted in the garden. And they took him off the cross and they planted him in the tomb, and from God's garden praying the life. Hallelujah. Now all that the Lord accomplished in physical and earthly terms has been preserved spiritually unto us to this day. God never let one little bit of that go. He's held it for us, beloved, that here tonight we all may know that we are planted together with him glory, that like as Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That is what you and I are to do. There is no way of walking in this newness of life so that everything is new constantly unless we remain planted in that death. Myself dead and buried and gone, and Jesus has come, and we can walk in the glory of the Father, and we can bring forth that fruit unto him that he wants us to bring forth. Are you ready? Have you ever seen this law? You can march right through Romans 8 and all the glory of it be yours. You can know the wonder of this life, the things of which Paul speaks, being just normal to you. Reading it and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Not having to keep telling yourself this to keep your spirit up so that you don't go down. This is the kind of gimmick we've been brought to in these days. Keep on saying it, you see. It might lift you up. Hallelujah. You won't want lifting up if you're living in the heavenly places. You can't go any higher than that. So, so the Lord wants us to understand. God, may we pray, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what kept Paul up there. The eyes of his understanding were absolutely enlightened. He saw it. Amen. And he put it into practice. Lived it. Amen. Does it trouble you or so that I should say these things to you? You're looking at your possessions, looking at your profession, looking at your what not, what does it matter? All a lot of it. Look at my husband, look at my wife, look at my future. I want to tell you, you haven't got any. You haven't got any future in this world? None at all. If you don't obey the law of the Spirit of life, you might as well commit suicide now. You have no future at all. A prolongation of your misery until you drop into the ground and you're gone. Let God bury you in the burial of his Son. Rise and walk and live everywhere. The law of the Spirit of life will outwork in you, and perhaps you ought to read this 8th chapter of Romans before you sleep tonight, so that you go through and you say, I can see, Lord, this is my life. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Put your foot on every verse. Keep walking more and more and more. And may the simple glory of it all flood our lives. Amen. When we take the bread and when we take the wine, we should be subscribing. Perhaps we may have done it in total ignorance in the past. To the truth that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. We shall be subscribing to it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So then, beloved, let the Lord have you now. Let the Lord work it right out in your life in the days that lie ahead, that you come fruitful to glory. The Lord bless you abundantly. And we're going to eat this bread. We're going to drink this wine. We're going to get our eyes off all fantasies and come onto reality. And we're going to move in the knowledge of his will. Amen. Are you ready to partake? Brother Norman is going to supervise it. I expect he has his men. No, all right, will the elders seen and never understood until tonight what it's all about. Will you now, before you touch that bread or drink that wine, will you conform to the law? Will you let the law work in you? Don't be put off by gloomy thoughts of death to self. Look beyond Jordan. They arrived in the promised land in the time of barley harvest. Amen. But they went through death into it. Bless the name of the Lord. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.